This is a reading taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Now, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from this sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. God's word is life. Thanks be to God.
Joseph had made up his mind, we're told. Joseph had made up his mind. In other words, there was a decision to be made. And it wasn't whether or not he would divorce Mary, but the how of it. He knows he's not the father of this child. And so he knows divorce is called for. It's not what he was counting on or what he wanted, but this is what has happened, and so he sets his mind to facing it. Chances are, making up his mind, it didn't come in a flash, but rather was born of struggle. The hard labor of sifting through matters of conscience, of religious observance, of expectation, of relationships that have been built. And all of it shot through with his feelings of shock and betrayal, hurt, anger, dear knows what else. Joseph is a righteous man, we're told. Not only a man of his culture, but steeped in his religious tradition, he walks the talk. He knows he has two options. The choice either of demanding that the religious law be carried out, by which Mary would be returned to her father's house, potentially stoned to death by men of the city on account of the disgrace brought upon her father's house. Or he could secure a written notice signed by two witnesses, confirming that he had divorced Mary, sparing her shame, even possibly her life. Turns out Joseph chooses the latter, for he is unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace. In other words, there is mercy in the heart of this man. Maybe that alone is his consolation, that in finding himself in this place he never wanted to be, at least his decision is congruent with the mercy that is in him. So we might imagine him, his mind made up, ready to move forward, dear knows after sleepless nights, agonizing exhaustion, and finally he falls asleep. It's at this point he's visited by an angel, a holy messenger, in a dream. Notice he's not spared all the wrestling that has come before. But now, when his guard is down and he's not so in charge, a whole other wisdom surfaces. And what comes to light is that he doesn't know everything. There's more afoot than he's aware. Don't be afraid, Mary, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is of the Holy Spirit, he's told. She will give birth to a son, and you must name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. In the space of a few words, it comes to Joseph that God is up to something in this child for the world. Healing is on its way. Liberating love is coming into the world. And Joseph, you have a part to play. Naming is what parents do. Your part is to draw closer, not away. Yours is to commit more deeply, not to disengage. Yours is to be with Mary and with her to shelter this love, to make a way, a place for this love to grow. Joseph had already made up his mind. And then this happens. This call to change his mind, to open up to an unforeseen possibility, to a new direction altogether. And it comes in a dream, in something as flimsy, intangible, unverifiable as a dream. It may be all of those things to us looking on, but for Joseph, it seems something landed with vitality, something lodged in him through this dream, with just enough assurance that he chooses to go with it, to trust it. What have you been up to? Or what are you doing even now simply because you trust that love is in it, that healing is already on its way? Trusting, of course, doesn't mean the way is suddenly made easy. For Mary and Joseph, I'm guessing it wouldn't be long before the fur would fly, the questions, the rumors, the looks, the judgments, which of course turned out to be the least of it. What it must have demanded of them when all they had was the courage of their conviction that what they were about was something that their God had asked of them. So we, too, make decisions. We make choices. We set out knowing what we know. And maybe now and again it occurs to us we don't know everything. It's good to remember Joseph. We don't know what the state of our planet will be in 2 years. We don't even know the state of our own health. So all we can do is step out knowing only in part, trusting love's capacity to break through. And so it is for us to be attentive, listening to what is being asked of us, noticing what is being given to us, and venturing our yes in the company of Mary and Joseph and this great long line of our foremothers and forefathers who, like us, couldn't know ahead of time where it would take them or what it would mean for them or even for the world. In other words, we are in amazing good company, even as it is for each of us to make our own way, but not without a blessing. So I invite you to let this blessing rest on your sweet head, as Carol Charlton would say. Or to let this blessing find its way into your hungry heart, or perhaps be inscribed on the soles of your feet. And so however it works for you, whether it's eyes closed or wide open, allow yourself to receive this blessing. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you have known toward the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping step by single step. There is nothing for it but to go, and by our going, take the vow the pilgrim takes, to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dream, to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an open eye for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path, and new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. Keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed, the gift that only you can give. We'll just allow some silence around this, just to be aware of what is quickening in your being.